she says I do.
Hey, 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 how's it going out there? Guess what? It's me. My name is Joe.
And it's you. My name is Carolyn.
Welcome, everyone, back to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show!
Whoa.
Whoa.
It's like a roller coaster.
I hope everyone's having a good winter. We're in the middle of January, where we are right now. It's actually snowing, where it was snowing, but there's a lot of snow, and everyone's either afraid of it, or they're really happy. I can't really tell, because there's a lot of just like this weirdness.
It's definitely a mixed reaction in the mid-Atlantic area, because like I feel like a lot of people do have to get work done and they need that easy accessibility of all of the metro and transportation, air transport and automobiles, planes and trains and all that jazz. But with the snow, it holds up everything and people just don't know how to deal with that. It kind of makes people stuck. In a way.
It really is. It comes down again to the Superman theory, the Superman hearing. Because you see everyone's impressions of it now. We live in a world where everyone's ideas and everything is out there. So you see people going like, I don't see any snow. Or you get the people being like, are you guys really busting your ass over 4 snowflakes? Or people having photos of like, this is how I protect myself from the snow. It's like I'm over it. I'm over y'all. I'm over you, society. It's really the only thing.
I love snow actually, because the thing is like when there's no, you know, leaves on the trees and everything's just kind of like bitter and cold and disgusting. At least when it's snowing, it looks actually pretty awesome and it looks beautiful.
Yeah, so it's magical, really.
I'm like, wow, there's like a purpose to the cold is the snow. So like I enjoy it. But I will say, now that I guess I have like, I don't know how to word this, but I guess a more important job. It does kind of...
a more important job than you. That's another thing.
But I'm not saying than other people, but I'm just saying than previous jobs I guess I've had. Like, I have, like, you know, something that I have to be at, you know? And so it does make it kind of difficult. But that's all I really have to say about that. So I'm kind of, like, at this contradiction with snow. It's like, I love it. It's magical. But then it's like... it's not like I get a break. I still gotta,
you gotta get shit done, apparently. You gotta get shit done. It's all for the news, though. It's a news time.
It's time for news.
It's Carolyn's segment.
Time for Carolyn's news. As you can tell, we start a little bit late. We're stuck on the snow conversation. But also, there's this awesome comics exhibit coming up. Again, it's in the wintertime, so hopefully the weather will be good enough for you to come on out.
Don't worry, people will complain about something. That's the world we live in. They complain or they say something that's like ultra cathartic, you know?
Some of you may remember that we had a cartoons exhibit was at Politics and Prose last year in DC. Well, now we're going to have cartoons number 2. And it's going to be running from February 6th to the 27th at the University of the District of Columbia, and there's going to be an opening reception on February 6th from 6:30 to 8 p.m.
What is February 6th?
I don't know what day of the week that is, but I have a feeling that it's in the middle of the
week.
It's
a Thursday.
Is it really Thursday? Hopefully I can get there by 6:30 p.m. Odds are not, but I'm going to try my best to make it to this gallery opening.
Hater mail will happen.
Because, you know, I'm in the exhibit. And also, it's not just me. It's Steve Artley. It's Matt Dembicki. It's Teresa Roberts Logan. It's Michael Ugje. It's Andrew Cohen, David Hagen, and Rafer Roberts. I mean, that's like some of the top quality comics people in the DC area.
No, that is the top quality. From my perspective, that is the top.
So yeah, I don't know what pieces
why,
I'm gonna have
why
in the
not
exhibit.
Sell it?
I have no idea what I'm even gonna do for the exhibit, but I gotta get ready for it. But I just wanted to let you all know, and this is a special for the podcast listeners because I haven't posted anything about it online yet. So you get to know about it first. Yeah. Cartoons
exclusive.
Number 2. Again. It's at. I'm checking my touch.
You have the copy right in front of you.
It's at the University of the District of Columbia, gallery number 42. I have no idea where that is, But if they have 42 galleries, I'm like, damn. I want to know how that numbering goes down.
I mean, it goes 42.
I have no idea. Like, what is this gallery 42?
I don't know.
Maybe it's probably the name of it, though.
It's probably an address.
But that's kind of, like, impressive. I'm like, wow.
42. Gallery 42.
Yeah.
I want to see gallery 41.
I want to see all of the galleries.
And then afterwards, I hope they have pizza.
Yeah, there's actually going to be food at the opening reception, so...
It's going to be like...
I mean, it starts at 6:30, so that, like, right there really scares the hell out of me, because, like, that's... I don't know, man. That's pretty much, like...
When does it end? Is there an ending? Ooh, that's a tough...
Because, like, sometimes
that's
I get...
an hour and a half, man.
Seriously, like, the... actually, on Monday, I got home, like, a couple minutes before 8. So it's like, that's kind of when I get home. Like, so hopefully I will be able to make that. I will try my best, you know? That's all I can say.
That's a tough one, man. You're not going to be there for the opening. You're probably aiming at, like, a 7:30. You're probably aiming at a 7:30. To go into D.C.?
Yeah.
To go into D.C.?
Find parking and all that jazz?
You're looking at a
7:30,
man.
And I don't even know where that campus is and all that.
Like, where is it? American University?
No, it's the District of D.C., University of D.C., UDC.
UDC? I have never even heard of that. Sorry, UDC. I've heard of Georgetown, and I've heard of it American, and Howard.
It's pretty, you know, it's pretty substantial. But
I'm out of the D.C. loop, but I'm like, where is that?
I know, like,
but
by the time I get there, I'm just going to be like, where is this place? Ah.
It's going to be one of those moments. I've had so many people that once they go into D.C. and they can't find what they're looking for, they're just like, fuck it, man. Can't even find parking at this point anyway.
Oh, they just turn around? I've never done that for an event. Actually, one event. I remember my pal from AIGA, which I must mention, today is AIGA's 100th birthday. So I feel like that's pretty substantial. For those of you who don't know, it's the Professional Organization of Design. But yeah, my pal Anthony, he had like a talk at George Mason one night, and Joe was with me in the car. And I remember specifically trying to look for parking. That was the worst parking situation I've probably ever been in.
University of Maryland?
No, that was at George Mason.
Or George Mason? Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there was like a basketball game that night, and there was like all these things going on, and there was like absolutely no parking. And we drove around for probably close to 2 hours looking for parking. And at that point, like, I could not even, it was just cars going round and round around the whole campus trying to look for parking. And I, like, basically called him, and I was just like, oh, sorry, I cannot make it. Like, and he was even, like, he didn't even get there on time, and I think when I called him, he was, like, walking into the building or something. But, yeah, and I don't know, man, that was a difficult night, but he totally understood. But, yeah, like, I think he was doing a talk for the student chapter for GMU, GMU. I always get confused with the GMU and the JMU.
Yeah.
It's like so.
They did
dyslexic.
That on purpose, didn't they?
But anyway, the George Mason University students he was going to talk to about design. So since like that, it seemed like I could make that event, but I didn't make it. But I'm sure he understands. But it's just like that. I think that was the only event like I actually was on like near the territory, but I just couldn't even find parking, so I had to turn around and go home. God, that's...
Just skip out.
Seriously,
that's
though.
That's not
like,
even that far.
No,
either.
I know, but did you even, like, seriously, there was no parking for 2 hours, like, straight up.
Yeah. I was like, let's just go to the comic book store. As you guys...
That's really frustrating, though, if you're, like, actually trying to make it for something, and then, I don't know, that was a bad parking situation. That's all I have to say about that.
For you first-time listeners... I'm Joe. First-timers out there, the first-timer. For you first-timers out there, I'm a filmmaker. My name is Joe Carbeo. I guess you can Google it or do whatever you want you can do today, but I do call myself a filmmaker, and I am a filmmaker. Carolyn's a cartoonist, and she's a designer. And yes, we have our own stuff, and we do try to push it, and we are trying to make it in this world, and that's what this show is all about. It's like documenting what we do and our thoughts of the moment and what we're trying to... You know, what we're trying to push across, you know what I mean? What we're trying to share with you, we're trying to share our gifts. But yeah, we're trying to make something and trying to make it out there. And as you can tell in the background, we're sort of listening to some folk music from the score to Inside Llewelyn Davis, the newest Coen Brothers movie, which I feel like it's almost when you think about it now, it's sort of very reminiscent of trying to make it today. You know what I mean? It's not like sort of like Fame, not like in the TV, like in the TV show or the movie Fame, not like this big glamorous. Oh, we're trying to song and dance.
Paparazzi.
I feel like that's almost like a wrong. That's like the lie. You know, that's not something substantial, because like for people like in Fame, like in that type of movie and show, it's like they're trying to still just be. They're trying to audition to be like a cog in the play. You're trying to be, you know, they're not, I felt like maybe they're not really creating something. Well, you have the characters in inside Llewyn Davis, who they make their own stuff and they're trying to, you know, their soul into that, you know, and they really, they realize how hard it is just to make money off of that. And that's like the true reality of what a lot of us tried to go for.
I feel like that's,
did you enjoy that movie?
Yeah, like that movie I did say was like one of my favorite movies of... Wait, so it came out in 2013, right? So are we counting that?
Well, came out the end of 2013. So there's those sneak in ones.
Like it was. I always every year pick my favorite movie of the year, and I did enjoy Gravity a lot.
Oh wait, before we continue this.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, because I, you know, quote unquote said first timers, I do have a movie that got released on one-shots.com called The First Timers, and you guys can definitely check that out. If you're not listening to this, if you're listening to this on the Wednesday, it comes out the 7 p.m. of that day on one-shots.com. If not, then you can watch it at one-shots.com anytime after that. Until
comes out on January 22nd at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right?
Yep.
Eastern Standard Time. All right, EST, man.
Just trying to get that through. What were you saying, though?
Again, one-shots.com.
So you're saying
I always pick out my movie of the year, and I liked Gravity a lot, and
which is nominated for an Oscar.
But then when it's weird because movies are weird. Like when you think about it, like a couple months later, and then you're like, oh, but what about this other one? And maybe you liked it for different reasons though. Like Inside Llewyn Davis is one of those ones that's like a solitary thing. That's like, oh, like. It's kind of a lonely movie, you know?
It is definitely...
Well, same thing with Gravity. If you think about it, I mean, they're in outer space, like, totally by themselves.
They are two different struggles. That's why Chris Rock was talking about, like, when he was talking about, like, how do you choose just one? They're all great. How are you saying this one's better than the other one?
Yeah.
And that's... I believe that. That's really a truth. If they're all honest movies, honest, as, you know, being, like, pure, like, how are you really saying, like, well, the Coen brothers' vision was more pure than Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity. You know, it's like you can't really do that. It just really becomes a popularity contest at that point.
Yeah, I mean, like, are we judging it by like who's going to win an Oscar? Because that is a total popularity contest.
No matter what
I mean,
people
they have
think.
Like they have like grab bags that like they send out to the voters and like their friends and stuff, and they're all like,
For
your consideration, here's a massage, and here's a trip to Colorado,
and
a happy ending, and go see Shamu, free tickets to SeaWorld. You know what I mean? Like
it's like
they're buying votes. But how is it any different than Washington D.C.?
Well, that's the true fact of it. It's like even with all these film festivals out there, with all these contests. I mean, and you were saying this before, it's not really about the quality, and that's the part that hurts the most. That, like, even with a Battle of the Bands or something like that, you can have an awesome rocking band, but if you didn't bring those 500 people to vote for you...
Well, yeah, if we're doing, like, those online competitions, those are kind of fake, too.
I feel like every competition is fake. I am a believer that...
Well, isn't there the disclaimer even on, like, American Idol?
That's yeah.
It's like, the producers have the right to... determine who should be the outcome of the winner, you know? So it's like that right there, like that whatever that sentence is, like tells me right there that, you know, even if somebody is like outnumbered in the votes, there's a way to like push certain people forward.
Yeah,
you know?
There's a pull happening, you know, there's some stroke being applied.
There's some hanging chads hanging around. There's some unknowns. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting. But back to the movies, you know, I mean, I do think that eventually the cream rises to the top. Like, eventually good movies will break through. And there's always, like, those surprise hits that people talk about for, like, a year. Like, Slumdog Millionaire. Like,
did they really talk about that for a year?
Yeah, I remember that being like the big push. And then the apparently they had like these little children that came from India that were at the Oscars, like in a fancy dress and stuff. And then immediately, you know, after the event, they sent them back to India into like the literal slums. And I remember reading about the little girl who like refused to take off her dress. And they showed her like sleeping in her bed, which was literally like a pound of mud. And then like her dress was all ruined and stuff. And she refused to take off the dress and it was all muddy and gross and like red dirt, you know. It's like, it kind of made me sad because it's like here she probably got sent to Hollywood, you know, probably had a nice hotel room and like clean water and all this like nice like bathroom. And like she got to be like, this is a toilet, you know, like she got to see all that and like be all like glitz and glam, got her photo taken and all that. And then she ends up, like, just going back to India and, like, sleeping on dirt. Like, I don't know, man. I didn't like reading that article because that's kind of messed up. Like, I'm not saying that she deserves to live in a mansion or something afterwards. I don't know exactly what her contribution was to the film. But it's, like, I don't know. I don't know why she was there and I don't know what her part was. Because I don't think she was the main actress. But she was, like, a little girl. Maybe, like, 6 or 7 or something. But I don't know, there's like always that distorted view of the world where they're like, oh, we're going to send her to Hollywood, but then...
And then realize that's all just make-believe.
It's all make-believe, it's just to show like, oh, we're doing this for the charities.
I'm not saying that it would not be great to be recognized or just to be nominated, because like, you know, one of my films does, where else can you actually do that? Where else can you go and dress up? You got to at least do it like once. Yeah.
But I don't know, that's what I'm saying, I don't know if she wasn't like the main actress though. But she was, like, maybe the childhood version of it or something.
And
like,
I never actually watched Slumdog.
Yes, you did.
I didn't really pay attention to Slumdog.
I didn't see the beginning.
It's not the type of film...
I just remember when they broke out and started doing dancing.
Because the true fact is this, and it's something I talk about a lot, is that it's probably just not my film. I wake up in the morning and I really don't want to see something like that. I bet it's great and it's produced amazingly. I mean, it's made by the same guy that did 127 Hours.
And didn't he produce the Olympics opening?
Yeah. And
what's his name? Danny something.
But I'm at the point in my life where I do need, like, I'm a Coen Brothers man. I need that stuff that's sort of part surreal and strange.
Well, I guess
then I need a little bit of that reality in the strange world.
See, but ordinary people, they... Mainstream people, they love Slumdog Millionaire because it's like he overcomes, you know, being
poor. Yeah, because those are the ones
that
are... And then
he finds his girl.
But they're not the ones that are voting for that to win an Oscar.
They're not, but it was... Didn't it win? Like, it was one
it
of those,
did win.
It's one of those movies that made people happy that they're like, we can overcome anything.
Remember, Chicago won, too.
Chicago was a good movie.
Argo won, and you finally saw Argo.
I finally saw Argo, like, last week.
You didn't really care about it going into it, but what were your thoughts? Like, what were your first initial thoughts of that?
Well, first of all, I knew it was something done by Ben Affleck, and I thought, maybe I was misinterpreting but I thought it was, like, a war movie. War movie.
You thought it was going to be, like, a Black Hawk Down
or
something.
Yes, that's what I thought it was going to be. And I was like, it's a war movie. I'm not too big on that, you know? And
then why would I be like, oh, we got to see this. I would bought this because I knew it.
But I will say, I do like Ben Affleck. And
Ben Affleck is awesome.
And I knew, like, the controversy about, like, how Argo was nominated for everything except for Best Director, which is interesting.
That sort of made
me, like,
that was like...
Like, I know about that, but I seriously thought it was, like, a shoot-em-up, like, boom, 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 bombs in the way. You know, like, I don't want to watch
White House
that.
Down or some shit
like
that.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I didn't think it was, like, as, I guess, I didn't think it was, like, White House Down. I thought it would be more gritty and realistic, you know? But, like, I was like, I don't want to watch it. But then, like, when I was like, okay, let's watch it. Like, I was in a mood to, like, try it out. And then it was amazing because, like, basically, right going into it, like... I don't want to give away the full plot, but there
you
is
should.
Like
everyone already knows what the
no,
the
but like
everyone
see,
knows
I did not
the
know,
movie.
I did not
everyone
know the history.
Knows.
I don't know why I didn't know the history.
It's based on a true story.
See, but
you
I don't know why. But basically, once they hit in with the Hollywood element of it and being like fake, and then getting like a makeup artist to basically help them create a fake war. Create a fake. Oh, how life imitates art. Create a fake movie to like disrupt the nations and getting those people out of like hostage situation and like I mean yeah like that like once the Hollywood part got into it like it's there was like a lot of good moments in there and like lightheartedness and John Goodman was pretty cool in it and a couple other of the actors are really awesome and I thought it was good, you
that
know?
That was the part that I, like, absolutely loved of, like, when I first found out what it was about. I was like, wait a minute, so they made a fake movie going into this to hide that? And I was like, this is a freaking amazing, because to me, when I hear that story, there's sort of something very absurd and off-putting about it. And I'm just like, I need to see that. It's almost like making a serious film, but then having something that's sort of like surreal in it. And I think that's what I liked about it. You know what I mean? And also it's like, it feels like, you know, I'm not really, you know, I'm not a Hollywood superstar, but like, I felt like almost like from Ben Affleck's perspective and all this stuff, that's like a characterization. It's like his commentary on like, this is what Hollywood really is, you know?
It's interesting, too, because I realized this from watching the behind the scenes of it, which I still want to watch the other half of the behind the scenes because I only got to, like, part of it. But I didn't realize that, like, Ben Affleck was actually, like, a Rand studies major or Middle Eastern studies and history majors and stuff. Like he basically went to school for studying some of that, you know, and I thought that was pretty interesting, and seemed like he did his homework, you know?
Did his research.
Yeah, it's like, and that, like, there's, like, so many elements that went into it, like, when you watch the behind the scenes, that makes you really respect that movie. So, yeah, I mean, that was pretty interesting. I mean, I have no idea why I didn't know about the real story. Like, I don't know, I must have been hiding under a rock. Under a rock, or Iran. I was hiding under Iran, and I had no idea about it.
I mean, I found out about it. I don't even know how I really found out about it. I think it might have been because of last year's Oscars, where I was just like, I was for some reason just gunning towards him, and then it was during that time where they do like the intro of like what, you know, what the nominees are, and they saw what Argo was. I was like, actually, that seems like pretty badass.
Like, I don't know why concept. In my head, like, I was so against it to begin. Like, I wasn't, like, against the film, but I was just like, oh, another war movie.
Because it's interesting, because in a way, it's almost like pulling a heist. Like, it's like a heist movie.
But it's like real.
It's like a real heist movie, but, like, you know, it's involving making a fake movie and then going into it. You know what I mean? It's like a heist movie, but you're not trying to steal money. You're trying to steal people. And then, to me, us being the creators of, like, Roxy and Dee and Black Magic Tales, a comic book, that's solely in our aisle, like, in our path of the type of stories we tell.
And actually, Argo, there was moments, like, near the end that I was, like, really getting scared.
You're like, oh, fuck, they're not gonna fucking make it!
Like, I was,
just like when you play the war video game, just cursing and shit.
Yeah. Like the worst language. Was I cursing? Was I like, oh my god? Like, I think I didn't curse, but I was just like, oh my god, get out of there, go. Like, when they were getting on the plane and those guys were chasing them down on the plane, like that part, I was just like, what the heck, go, man. It was like seriously like seconds away.
You know, I was about to buy like the super special. They have like an ultimate edition of that.
What?
Yeah, like it
What's
has
on the ultimate
it has
edition?
Like it has like the actual like they give you like copies of like the storyboards and like the script of like Argo and stuff like that.
I don't really need all that. I mean, that's cool, but that's a little much. But I just want to watch like the behind the scenes stuff. But there was like moments where I was really like, go, oh my god, yeah. Like, I think Argo,
like, go, oh my god, yeah.
Like, but like I really do. And then I that one character that was always on edge, that ended up saving the day because he knew Farsi.
Yeah.
Like, that character, I was always, like, really worried about him, because I was like, man, he could blow it at any time. He's like that fuse, you know?
He was, like, the wild card.
He was, like, the one that wasn't fully on board with, like, making it happen to have, like, a fake movie, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then even, like, them, like, out in the marketplace, that was interesting, too. There was probably 10 different moments where, like, first of all odds are stacked against them. As a group. But then there's like 10 to 15 moments, I guess, that was just, or even like John Goodman answering the phone at that very moment.
And I feel
like they held on to those moments that was like,
ah. And I feel like those moments are something that like the director creates. There's that real tension and the editing and all the planning.
Yeah, like, know. See that, I didn't feel that from some other movies, like Gravity, I did feel motion from, but I feel like Argo is a better movie than Gravity, because technology wise, like I think both
technology
of them,
wise,
well both or like artistic vision, like
how,
I don't
see,
know what's
see,
a good
how
way.
You, that's
good
the
way
thing is like how do you measure that? You can't
you
really
can't
measure,
compare.
You can't like, go and put a massive amount of CGI in like. How do you compare going into outer space, a story, saying that's better than going into a, you know, that's
no,
impossible.
No, okay, I'm saying that, like, you know, I guess they're both on even par, like, artistically, But I guess, like, emotionally, for me personally, I got more out of Argo because my emotions were pulled more in Argo than in Gravity.
But you know, in Gravity, where you're just like, well, of course she's not going to die.
Yeah.
I was looking at Gravity because as a director standpoint, but as an obvious director standpoint of like, oh my God, there's going to be these extremely long takes. And I was like, I can't wait to see that. You know what I mean?
It was definitely awesome.
I knew it was going to be like that, but it's also like, that's what it was, a ride. You know what I mean? That's literally what Gravity was a ride.
But to counter that, like, I guess I'm the type of person that, like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh my God, it's so painful to watch Argo. Like, you know, because I didn't know what the outcome was going to be, you know? And then, like, like, but for some other people, like, if I had a different type of personality, there's people out there that probably would have hated that. Like, they probably are like, oh, I can't be around all this conflict, and, like, it's just too stressful, you know? So they probably would have liked, you know, I guess a movie that wasn't as stressful more.
Like Frozen.
I still haven't seen Frozen, so I don't have a review on it. But I've heard really good things about it, and I heard that it's like a positive message for girls and all that jazz.
I mean, I have a feeling this year, like, 12 Years a Slave, for some reason, is going to do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
It just seems like it seems like those Oscar movies. That's just like,
why is it that they always have those Oscar movies like that? It focuses on like a certain type of person or like a political statement, or like, you know how Slumdog Millionaire was about like the poor slum Indian people, and then like they'll have like Precious about like a fat black chick, and like there's always like that social movie that's like about like a race or a certain type
because
of person.
There's
I get it, but then I'm just like, man,
it's the same reason why like professional wrestling will never be like looked at like as this amazing art form that it really is, because there's always that side of it of like, well, you know, it's still just people beating each other up for fun, you know, stuff like that, as opposed to being like, well, this is a really serious,
serious
thing.
Movie about this girl named Precious.
This is Lincoln. It's about Lincoln. It's about black people, and it's like
slavery.
It's so serious. You know what I mean? It's like you can't really fight that. People are like, well, this looks more serious, and
like,
you know,
yeah,
I mean?
They're like, this person lost 50 pounds to play this part.
I mean, Chicago won. That was a musical, you know.
I guess it depends on the year.
I mean, Fargo didn't. What else won? Fargo won, right?
I'm not sure.
I think Fargo won for Best Picture.
You know what won that? Like, when I first was, growing up and hearing about like how the world works and stuff, like there was a movie called Traffic, which I still haven't seen. So maybe this is unjustified review.
Steven Soderbergh's Traffic. It's actually pretty damn good.
No, what's the other one?
Crash.
Oh, Crash. Well, I don't know about Traffic.
I'm not going to go watch Crash.
Crash came out, and I remember a couple of like my roommates, or when did it come out, in college?
That's another Sandra Bullock movie,
yeah,
right?
I think so, yeah. Well, like a couple people I guess I knew in high school or college, they were like, oh my God, Crash is so good.
It's like about all these
different races coming together, and like, and I'm like, in my head,
you're
I'm like,
you're like the first thought that came to mind, you're like Captain Planet?
But also, like, I'm not trying to be, like, segregationist or anything, but I'm just like, that kind of, like, pulls me away when people say stuff like that. Like, oh, the races come together, and it's like, I get that, and I'm totally for that, but at the same time, it's like, really? Like, I don't need to, like, have a movie that says that to me,
also,
you know?
Also,
I'm like, that should be a given.
Well, also, for me, that seems like something that's so obvious. It's
yeah.
like it's so literal of if from the way it sounds. I've never seen it.
Who made that film? Crash.
I don't know.
See, I have like no desire to see it. So maybe like my review of it is totally unworthy.
But Traffic is awesome. I love
Traffic. I always get Traffic and Crash.
Have you seen Traffic?
I think I saw like 1 minute of it.
Traffic is great. I think Traffic is really great.
But didn't
really
that win?
Grit and gritty.
Didn't that win or something?
Yeah,
or?
I think it won. Him and Soderbergh.
So maybe it was Traffic and then the following year
was
Crash.
Crash.
Maybe that's why, or maybe I just get confused because those titles sound the same to me.
Traffic,
like,
Crash.
Yeah. But anyway, the Crash Man, like, I'm sorry. I shouldn't call it the Crash. Crash is like, I just cannot, like, even want to attempt to watch that movie because, A, everyone told me to see it, and whenever people do that, it kind of diminishes it, so I don't actually want to like go out and tell people to see stuff anymore, but anyway, like, yeah, it's I don't know,
that's why I
like I don't like this like forced thing of like, oh, black people and white people and Asian people all together and like green people
happiness everywhere,
but it's
equality,
like,
now,
but the thing is like, I'm not gonna say that will never happen, because it gradually is happening, you know, like little by little, you know, people are merging together and having multi-race children and all that jazz, and like I'm okay with all that, but it's just like, you know, why does it have to be like this forced thing? You know, I guess some people are like, wow, that person's with a black person. You know, like, I don't understand. Like, there are probably people that still think that way.
I mean, those are those. Like, those are, to me, it almost feels like those are easy beats. You know, those are easy beats. It's like always, it's like, you know, I don't know. I just don't think like that. I don't think inside the box like that.
But what is it about? Like, is it like a... Is it like a romance or an adventure?
I don't know, and I
don't even know the plot.
I don't know, and I literally don't care. I don't know.
Or is it like one of those things where they all like combine together and they're like, at the certain time, we're all together.
If I were to choose,
we crashed into each other.
If I were to choose, I would choose Traffic. If I'm going to go for something like that, I would choose Traffic.
Is Traffic about like all the races coming together?
Traffic is...
Pitch Traffic to me in two sentences.
I mean, really, it's multiple perspectives on drug trafficking. It's how drugs really affect from the high politicians all the way down to the Mexican drug lords. But what's interesting about it is you literally get each individual perspective presented to you, and then as the movie comes together, you see how they all
crash into each other.
You see how they all impact each other. So. And also, it's the way it's presented is really great.
Is Traffic like that same way, but with race? They're like, we're all coming together.
I don't know about Crash, but Traffic, to me was, really interesting because like direction wise, the way they represented each different territory. I mean, they represent like how the gods fall. How like from Michael Douglas's character, how the family gets intertwined in this and how people have to somehow switch around. But what's also interesting about that is you get to see people cross into colors. Like, because like Traffic was one of the main movies, like, I don't know, I remember seeing before I went into film school. And then, you know, you realize this now, but like, you know, each division of the film is represented by different colors. Like, say the politics in DC is like this really blue, this like non-white balanced blue, and then Mexico is represented with this harsh yellow, and then like suburbia is represented in like this clean green, you know, another way. But it's interesting because, and then each different division has their key players, you know what I mean? So you have the cops are always in this color, and then the politicians are always in the blue world, and Mexico is always in this. So it's interesting later on when you see a Mexican, like when you see the Mexican story intertwined with the blue, and it starts to actually feel, because they've been represented in two different colors for so long, just color correction wise, it feels like a real collision, because like, holy crap, I get to see this guy in this color now. I mean, it sounds weird, but
you're
mentally
coming together with colors.
No, but it's but like just physically, it's I thought like it, to me that was one of the things that's really cool. But the writing is really, really strong and top notch. But I mean, it's a serious movie, so I can't really divert away from that. But it's good. It's interesting. And it's dark and gritty, but it's also happy. And I don't know. It's a wide variety of what it is. It's Traffic. You know, so many people cross the same lane. So
yeah. So when is the Oscars?
I have no idea. January or beginning of February.
Maybe we can go through the list.
I mean, the nominees are out right now. But Inside Llewellyn Davis did not get nominated for anything except for Best Cinematography, which would probably be just like disregarded.
Yeah,
they'll try to put their biggest stars on that one again to do the nominations so people can like pay attention. But
yeah, I mean, I liked Inside Llewellyn Davis because I related to the struggle of like trying to make it, you know, like we were talking about in the beginning of the podcast.
And not like a glamorized vibe, but like a legitimate like...
Trying to make good products for people. Yeah. Just like not... Maybe products isn't the right word.
But having
the
hustle.
All corporate, but like trying to make things for people and like share your life and have people acknowledge and... You know, stuff like that.
And having to do that journey, because inside Llewellyn Davis is really, you know, it's that journey.
Rejection after rejection and dealing with that versus, you know.
And there's that moment.
How does that one person cope with that much rejection?
You know, and he hits the road, goes on that awesome car trip with John Goodman's character, and goes to that club in Chicago and, you know, is there to audition basically to perform. To see if like they would like to, if he would like to get carried by this, you know, the manager in that club, And then just the fact that, like, after he does this amazing performance, and there's a lot of great long performances. And when I mean performances in this film, I mean, like, actually performing of the songs. So there's no holding back there. So it's like these songs have to really land for them to be able to, like, people make it. And I think that's so great that they had confidence, and these songs and performances were great. But after that one performance in that club, like, you hear, like, the manager or the club owner, I forget what it is, say the words that
everyone... It's a record company president.
Yeah, basically say the words that every creator and every almost filmmaker, cartoonist, everyone fears, and fears being told to him when the guy says, like, I don't see money in this. That's it.
Which is funny
I don't
that
see money
you
in
say
this.
That too, because...
He's like, and then the dude's like, okay. What else he supposed to say?
Well, it's funny to say the opposite of it, because recently I listened to a WTF podcast with CM Punk, and he said, like, after he did that whole speech with Vince, you know, basically he can air his grievances on live in front of Vince.
The pipe bomb.
And so then, like, he walked out off stage, and he was like, oh shit, I'm gonna get a lot of shit, you know? And the first thing that Vince actually said to him was, I smell money.
I smell money. I mean,
so
that's
like the opposite, though, you know? Don't you think that that's kind of interesting?
Yeah, I mean, in wrestling, it's like you smell money, you keep going. But it's tough. I mean, when I was working in a music store, like, one of my first jobs is a comic book store and a music store. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys who worked there, like, one of the main music store guys that worked there, like, I asked him, like, what type of music you make? He was talking about how he had a band. And he was like, you know, the toughest one. We're an original band, so it's hard to get bookings. So, and you know, that's probably what's true. It's like, oh, you can earn a lot of, I guess you can earn a good amount of money with if you're you know, like, doing covers and stuff like that. But an original band has to, like, because no one knows your stuff. How are you supposed to get that out unless you, like, play? But that is difficult. If no one knows your stuff,
you really gotta just hit the road.
And it's really difficult today too, when you're trying to get people to know your stuff. And, like, no one gives a fuck about, like, trying to push, help you, because they're too busy trying to push their own stuff. Their own now Etsy store. Now their own comic strip. Now their own movies. And everyone's a fucking photographer. It's like, you know, no one wants to promote anyone. And when they do, I feel like they're lying. Because they're all just using each other. And that's really what it is.
I have a
it's
question
like, how do we
for
land
you
that?
That I proposed on Twitter today. It's basically like, what is up with, there's a few people I know that I've actually seen in person, face to face.
I think I gave you a response to this too.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet, but let's just go through it. So, like, I see these person face to face, and they're like, oh, I've been watching all the stuff that you do on Facebook, it's so cool. And then, like, I'm just like, great, you know, like, in person, like, what else am I gonna say about that? But then meanwhile, online, so I know that they're looking, you know? Then meanwhile, online, they never like it, or they never, like, repost it. Not like I'm expecting that, but if you keep saying, like, oh, that's so cool, but then I'm like, why didn't you like it at least once? You know? So it's, like, one of those things. But I did hear back from somebody on Twitter that is following me, and he just wrote, they're probably lazy.
Oh, then you go to their site.
And I'm, like,
site
lazy to make one quick.
And then you go to their site, and they've already clicked and liked about a million things, and...
And, like, post stupid stuff, play Bedazzled Jewels or whatever.
Or
like,
or they can or they, or they can have they've spent hours going through email. Or they're busy. Everyone's gonna have an excuse.
I just think
so
it's weird, I guess they're face to face, so they want to pay you a compliment. And
no,
that's
but it's,
cool.
Well, it's like small talk. It's like you'd have nothing else to talk about. That's why I feel like it is. It's like, oh yeah, I see you doing all this stuff. Oh, you know, like if they have nothing to talk about, sometimes they just can't come up with some bullshit to rent. Closest rounded thing.
I guess it is good that they're paying attention.
But are they really
know.
Paying attention?
Yeah, because people like know.
But I almost feel like it's not. I bring it back again to the Jason Schwartzman conversation I had with him.
Oh yeah.
I bring it back to that. I've never
you
seen
just
Rush.
Tell this story
I've never
again.
Seen. I've never seen Rushmore before in my whole entire life. Right. Not even in the Rushmore's a Wes Anderson
at
film.
At this point, you didn't.
Yeah. At this point, like I've barely even seen it now. But I've seen Jason Schwartzman all over the place now doing all acting. But when we saw Phantom Planet, one of my favorite bands, perform at Plan 9 in Richmond, and he used to be the drummer and one of the writers for that, one of the composers for that, you know, I had nothing to say to Jason Schwartzman, and that's one of the toughest things. You know, I don't know about you guys, but meeting like anyone like in a line, and you're always like, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? It's like, that's so tough to think about thinking of something clever to say or anything that's not like, oh my God, I love you. Oh, I love you. Stop my tits. You know, it's like the, it's really tough. So, you know, I had nothing really to say to Jason Schwartzman. So, but I remember, you know, they announced him from the movie Rushmore. So I was like, oh man, Rushmore is really my favorite movie. Like, I really, you did an awesome job. And I've never even seen Rushmore at that point. But I was like, yeah, thanks, man. And then the next thing I know, the news comes out. He's quitting Phantom Planet and he's going to focus on acting.
And that was all because of you.
But like, see, but that's the thing. It's like when you
broke up Phantom Planet, Joe.
But I feel like when you come up to a person, you need to talk about something. I mean, that's why when people are always like, oh, that weather really sucks. Oh, how about those Orioles? You know, that's why a lot of people like sports. It's so people have something easily to relate to.
Also, sports, I've realized, is basically like a playful war. You know,
it is.
Like you have two teams. When it gets
a
to
sexist
that,
playful war.
When it gets to like the highest level of like Super Bowl and stuff, those teams are both in it for the kill. You know, and it is exciting. It is. There's a lot of great things to actually be learned from sports,
especially this year's Super Bowl with the Bruno Mars and the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, talking about. But like, there's a lot of things to definitely be excited about. You know, like, I know Joe and I aren't necessarily like the big time sports people, but I will say like,
because I look at it as a fraud at this point.
I don't know if I could use that heavy of a word.
I enjoy the athletic ability, but at this point,
it's a money making.
But
thing.
For pro sports, it's tough for me. It's tough for me to be like, I love this. I love looking at the. I love watching this, and these guys are making millions to play a fucking game, and they're also turning out to be the most selfish people out there.
Yeah,
it's tough for me to really promote that. They don't have to go out there and perform. People can sit on the bench and make more money than I will ever dream of.
True, but they still got to that level for whatever reason.
Yes, they were chosen.
Yeah. I mean,
because they played well in college, in high school, and then they played well so they can make that.
There
they can make $10 million.
There are good players out there that have good sportsmanship, that are really in it to win the game, that love the sport.
And also the promos are dumb. People are all about this other guy that they're like, he did a wrestling promo on like after like the San Francisco game.
I never watched it.
And people were like, oh, he's Macho Man. He did a wrestling promo. And I was like, apparently you guys have never even seen a wrestling promo before. That was not a wrestling promo.
Anyway, that guy's getting heat from it. But speaking of,
he's not getting heat. He's getting positive press.
Speaking of sports and all that jazz. So recently, I saw an ad for the DC Auto Show. So I guess that's in town right now or soon or coming up. And I was like, who? I wonder who's going to be there, because like WWE always sends a couple of guys out there to make appearances. So I looked it up online, and apparently Sheamus and The Miz are going to be there, which is fine. And then I'm looking down their guest list, and it leads me to think an interesting thing, because basically, all the males that are there are some type of sports or athletic. Because we have this, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Paris Gaucon. He is an American football player of Haitian descent. He's for the Washington Redskins. And then you have Bryce Harper, who plays for
Bryce
the Nationals.
Harper, that sounds like a Wyatt.
He plays for the Nationals, and which he's the guy that Danny and I saw several years ago before he was recruited for the Nationals. But yeah, we have a baseball player, and you know, going down the line, we have like a who's this? An outfielder for the Washington Nationals, Jason Worth. So we have a couple baseball players and a football player and two wrestlers. So then I'm looking at the females that are there, and there's a Karina Smirnoff, who is a Ukrainian professional ballroom dancer who is on Dancing with the Stars.
Nice.
And that actually does seem legitimate, because I'm like, okay, she's a professional dancer.
Like, she has actual skills.
Yeah, like she works her ass off probably to get those moves down. And then we have this, like, Marissa de Monte Cristo, who's a Salvadorian beauty pageant title winner. I don't really know why she's there, because like no disrespect to her title, but it's just like I don't know who like she's just, what is she, so she's Miss Scandinavia or something? Like, I'm like, that, like, well, why is she, why, I'm like, in my head, I'm
TNA.
Like, I'm like, why is she TNA. At the DC Auto Show? You know, nothing
she's
against,
she's there for the weekend.
No, but it's, the thing is like, nothing against her personally.
She's a pretty face.
Yeah, it's nothing against her personally, but it's just one of, and nothing against her title, but it's just like one of those things that, like, she's at the DC Auto Show? Like, why does she need to be there? And then we have, like, Adriana Patridge, who is, on the show The Hills, a reality show that follows the lives of four young girls as they chase their dreams, .. You know, it's like, so I actually know, when I talked to Joe about that, I'm like, that, so I was like, I don't even know who that girl is, but then Joe's like, oh, she's the one with the nude photographs online. You know, like, so I'm like, oh, okay, now I know why she's there. So, like, okay, so let's break it down.
Everyone
so,
has nude photographs online now.
So here's the thing. Let's break this down, though. So we have, like, the men that are there are all sports stars, and the women that are there are all beauty pageant winners, or they have nude photos online.
Well, I mean...
So basically, it's like we have beautiful women and sports stars.
Well, I mean, I also bet, and I also guarantee you, it's a car show, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be cars... And there's going to be pinup girls next to the cars.
Yeah.
So the demographic is clearly
men,
horny men. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is. And then you have Sheamus and The Miz to confuse them.
I know that a lot of families do go to the car show, though. It's like, it's kind of like an event. Like, I remember my parents taking my brother and I 1 year. It's kind of like an event to, like, take out the kids and be like, oh, look at all these cars. Yeah. That's cool. You know, like a family type thing.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at these stars and I'm like, again, no personal disrespect. Like, they obviously worked their way up to, like, appear at the DC Auto Show. But what I'm saying is, like, I'm just like, man, really? That's what it breaks down to, is, like, sports heroes and pretty women.
Like, athletic ability, I mean, ballroom dancing.
Yeah, that's why I said that was, like, the acceptable one. Like, I was like, okay, that's cool. She's
Does
on
she
Dancing
look good?
With the Stars. I
don't
that's
know.
I don't
the know. Question is,
most likely,
like, she probably looks good then, right?
I'm sure she probably looks awesome if
why
she's on
she,
Dancing with the
Stars. Why would she not be there? She's not look good,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
that's
definitely.
Usually the question.
But I guess what I'm getting at is, like, why is the girl from The Hills there and then, like, a Scandinavian beauty queen or something? Or I don't even know.
I mean, that's really, that's
what country
the real
she was from. You know, Scandinavia, I think, was the ballet dancer. But
That's logistically the real question. Why is the girl from The Hills there anywhere?
The Salvadorian beauty pageant title winner. It's like, I mean,
reaching on that one.
I mean, I'm sure she's gorgeous. And I'm sure she's a nice person, hopefully.
With a lot of makeup.
With a lot of makeup,
she's probably pretty gorgeous.
With a lot of makeup and hair extensions and all that jazz. But what I'm getting at is, like, this is the people that we have to meet at the DC Auto Show? It's like...
That's all you got?
But I'm like, why don't you have, like... I don't know who would be better, necessarily. But, like, why don't you have, like, a female comedian or something? You know what I mean? Like... Someone that isn't just, like, a pretty face, necessarily,
yeah.
You know? I'm not saying to put ugly people out there, but just somebody with, like, another talent that, like, isn't just, like, a gorgeous person. Like, isn't just, like, take pictures with me because I'm hot. You know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know who the best person would be because, like, Amy Poehler is probably above all that shit, you know? Like, but maybe, like, and Amy Poehler is gorgeous, too. So it's, like, right there you get funny and gorgeous, you know? So
yeah.
Well, nothing wrong with the way she looks, you know? But it's like, I just don't understand, like, how that's what it breaks down to. So basically, you have to be a sports star and a model to be, like...
Just like high school.
To get out there.
Just
yeah,
like high school.
That's the sad part. It's one of those things
just
we've
like
realized
high school.
For years. But yeah, like, who else would be a good person instead of, like, people from The Hills that takes their clothes off online? Like...
But she did that before she was on that show.
It doesn't matter. That's, like, stupid. She's still trying to look for that fame.
Well, you guys can definitely hear about my rants, #rant, on my Twitter to see how much my real feelings about this world.
You don't tell your real feelings on the radio show?
I tell my real feelings, but you get to see more updates, daily updates on my @AstrayJ, on my Instagram, and also on my Twitter. Because I feel like I've been knocking people on the side of the head with these things. But no one's paying attention, so that's why I can do it. Stick it to them while they're not looking. That's what it is. Stick a knife into their kidney while they're not looking and let them die. That's right. You heard it here first.
That's devastating.
You heard it here first. Don't forget, everyone, to check out one-shots.com to check out my new film, me and Brian Sarvis' new film, the first timer. You guys are going to love it. We're going to keep on trying to make those things happen for you. And tell the world, man. Tell the world. We're going to keep doing this, but it'd be great if the whole entire world knew. Why not? This show is also brought to you by Astray Productions. You can check out their work at astrayproductions.com. Don't forget to check out my work at joecarabeo.com. Also at goastray.tumblr for more up-to-date news, happenings, anything you want. And what about you, Carolyn?
Joe, plug me.
Hey, Carolyn, don't you have a Sketch Before Sleep that comes out every night in which you do a drawing or a sketch or an illustration just before you go to bed? Yes, you do. You can check that out, curls-studio.com/sketch-before-sleep. Also, have you heard about Curls? Curls is a comic strip created by Carolyn about a girl and her fantastic friends that happen to be a life-size giant toast and a whole bunch of cool animals and a conehead. Everything you ever want, anything you ever imagine, your friends are here. Check it out at curls-studio.com/curls.
Curls.
And also, you can listen to this show on Stitcher Radio. And also, again.
And also,
carolynandjoeshow.com. Thanks again for listening. Stay warm out there. Be excellent to each other. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be the best that you can be. See you later. See you, Carolyn.